Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
We are a nation that endures because of the courage of those who defend it. We saw that valor in those who braved bullets here at Fort Hood just as surely as we see it in those who signed up knowing they would serve in harm's way. We are a nation of laws whose commitment to justice is so enduring that we would treat a gunman and give him due process just as surely as we will see that he pays for his crimes.
Once again, this show will be dedicated to the men and women of the Army today and the entire armed forces, for that matter. Here we have the single largest terrorist attack on a military base in American history, and the midstream media is attacking those who attack the attackers. Chicago Mayor Daley, who gave us Obama, has blamed it on guns, not on the radicalized Muslim major. And on the FBI. And so I have some questions to ask. And the questions are very logical. I've been asking them since the beginning. From 9/11 to 11/5, the Fort Hood shooting is a second 9/11. But we learn nothing. We, the people, have seen that the government has failed us again. Let's be clear. The FBI failed us in this terrorist attack, just as they did in the last one. Why do I say that? It was known long before the attack who the perpetrators were, that is, of 9/11. We knew that they were planning something, yet the intelligence agencies did nothing. The government learned nothing from 9/11, despite all of the face-saving gestures of the 9/11 Commission. They said it'll never happen again. And here we have it happening again on a small scale. It's not a small scale if you lost your father. It's not a small scale if you lost your son or your brother. Who in the government do you think is most to blame for failing to learn the lessons of 9/11 and who permitted the Fort Hood massacre to occur? And that's the first question. And who in the government is most to blame for failing to learn the lessons of 9/11? Is it the FBI? Is it the Army itself? What's worse to me is that the Army itself has demonstrated a suicidal mentality throughout this crisis. Not only did Army Chief of Staff General Casey say that losing the Army's diversity would be a greater tragedy than the shooting, but Hassan's former Army colleagues are now saying that they didn't want to discipline his inadequate performance because he was a Muslim. They didn't want to offend the Muslim. They knew he was no good. They knew he was a rotten apple, but they didn't want to do anything for fear of offending Muslims. With an attitude like this, the Army is dead as a fighting force. End of story. Will Obama imprison Tea Partiers who refuse to sign up for his insurance under a socialized medicine plan? He says he will. Obama says jail time may be appropriate for failing to buy health insurance. Yes, he said so. Did you hear that? Now, let's go to another issue. There's a victory out there as well, which is that the Maoist, the woman who praised Mao Zedong, the woman who attacked Fox News, the woman who attacked conservatives, the spokesmouth for Obama, not that undertaker that he has up there, that loser, he'll be gone soon, that Gibbs. Gibbs will be back working in a junior high school soon, but we're talking about the woman there. She got fired. They threw her overboard. She got thrown overboard. There's so many other stories. I can't jam them all in the first second here on the Savage Nation. The big story is the Fort Hood massacre. But White House Communications Director Anita Dunn, the one who praised Mao Zedong, that Mao Zedong, by the way, killed 60 million of his fellow Chinese, either through direct murder or through mass starvation. She praised Mao Zedong. She also attacked Fox News and conservatives in radio. She's the second czar to be thrown out. So it's two for us and zero for the libs. We're winning. They're getting the message. I have a feeling that Obama may be either triangulating his opposition or he's trying to get rid of the radicals around him now that he has absolute power, and that we're going to see a more centrist wing of the Democrat Party reassert its control over the children, the radical children, college people who have taken over the Democrat Party. It just might be a sign of hope that they understand that they're out of control. They don't know what they're doing. They're surrounding themselves by incompetent left-wing lunatics. I'm sort of an eternal optimist on that. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. FBI refused to probe Fort Hood jihadi despite contact with Al-Qaeda. You heard that story. Major Nidal Hassan corresponded by email late last year and this year with a radical cleric in Yemen who has criticized the U.S. for waging war against Muslims, but the contact did not lead to an investigation by Barbara Boxer's FBI chief, Mr. Mueller. You got to remember who appointed Mueller. Barbara Boxer asserted that the appointment of Bob Mueller was a great idea. Now, I've been a fan of Mr. Mueller because although he's, you know, comes from a liberal city and was a liberal judge, I thought he did a very fair job until now. But now I see that the failure is endemic in the government. Wherever you turn, the government has failed us. You know, they say this is anti-government talk. Well, let me ask you something. How do you feel today with the dead and wounded walking around Fort Hood and them all pointing fingers at anyone who says anything about radical Muslims? According to a new story that came out, this is a shocker. 10% of U.S. mosques preach hatred and jihad, according to an FBI agent who spoke to Ronald Kessler of Newsmax. Imams preach jihad and extremism in 10% of the 2,000 mosques in the U.S., the FBI estimates. But you won't read that in the New York Times. Because if we condemn the radical Muslims, we're accused of being racist, and that's why we're losing the war against radical Islam. It gets worse, though. It gets even worse. According to the Liberal Pew Research Center, a quarter of Muslims in America ages 18 through 29 believe that suicide bombings can be justified. Now, who is putting this in the heads of the young Muslims? It's the imams who preach hate and jihad in American mosques and by their postings on the internet, not according to Michael Savage, but according to the FBI counterterrorism officials who the author of this article interviewed, Ronald Kessler. Did you hear this? An FBI official says off the books, those who actively support extremist causes, say America is evil and deserves what it gets and celebrate the death of soldiers, know they may come to our attention, so they don't do it as openly now. But they do it. They do it in mosques. They do it in mosques. And we sit here like sitting ducks. So there's Obama speaking about due process. There he is making sure that the murderer, he calls a gunman, by the way, which is interesting, not a terrorist, not an assassin, not a homicidal maniac, but a gunman, as though the guns did it. Speaking of guns, Chicago Mayor Daley, who gave us Obama, is blaming the Fort Hood massacre on guns. He says, unfortunately, America loves guns. We love guns to a point where, he says, we see devastation on a daily basis. You don't blame a group, says Mayor Daley. Well, I think he should further disarm the military. I think he should take away those nasty toys from the military because they may just hurt somebody. After all, the men who were disarmed by Jimmy Carter were shot down like sheep because they didn't have guns. Those in the barracks who had no guns were disarmed by your good friend Jimmy Carter, the Jew hater. That's right, Jimmy Carter, the Jew hater and the jihad lover. Jimmy Carter, the apologist for jihadists worldwide. Jimmy Carter, the Jew hater and the jihadi lover, disarmed America's troops in the barracks. Oh, yeah, I'm the only one who seems to know who did it. We looked into it. You see, back in the 50s, let's go back to movies like From Here to Eternity, Frank Sinatra, the great movie set in Hawaii, Pearl Harbor, a fort in Hawaii around just the time of Pearl Harbor. All men in the barracks had guns because they were soldiers, you see, and soldiers were allowed to have guns. That's when soldiers were soldiers. Then along came Jimmy Carter. And Jimmy Carter, the jihadi lover, Jimmy Carter disarmed American troops. Now, you know why he did it. You don't know why he did it. I know why he did it. I know the cover story was is because there's a lot of suicides and we don't want violence on the base and blah, 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 and there's no threat to soldiers in America. That's not why the Democrat Jimmy Carter disarmed our troops on military bases. He did it because they feared a military coup. He knew he was such a slime bag left winger that there could have been a military coup in America. So the best way to prevent it was to disarm the troops in the barracks. Don't you see? What do you want me to do? Not see what's going on in this country? You want me to not tell you what I see? All right, I'll tell you what I don't see. I'll sit here like John Schmo. Okay, I'll give you the NBC viewpoint. It's guns that did it. The poor man was picked on because he was a Muslim. And he finally snapped because he had a toothache. Did you hear that one? That was Geraldo Rivera. You know him as Geraldo Rivera. I know him as Jerry Rivers. Jerry Rivers, that disgraceful creature from the Black Lagoon on Fox News. I have no idea what Roger Ailes is thinking. Why does he keep this creature on the air? This is the same Jerry Rivers who gave away troop movements during the Iraq War on the air. This is the same ham who now comes out. You want to hear what he said? Listen.
Well, I don't know what motivates him, John Stossel, but to suggest that he's a terrorist, doesn't that of necessity require that he conspires with someone, that he has some communication? As far as I know, his computer shows no links with anybody. This is a guy, he's a sociopath, he's a criminal. He could have had a toothache and gone off because of that.
Roger Ailes should fire Jerry Rivers today. I mean, I've never heard anything like a network like this melting down faster than the White House. This schmuck doesn't even have his facts straight. He had no correspondence with anybody. He didn't even read the news. FBI refused to probe Fort Hood Jihadi despite contact with Al-Qaeda. Major Nidal Hassan corresponded by email late last year and this year, several emails, many emails, with a radical cleric in Yemen who was criticizing the United States for waging war against Muslims. But the contact did not lead to an investigation owing to what? The government media complex. Slime balls like Jerry Rivers and incompetent flat feet like our intelligence agencies. I'm now opening it up to your opinions. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, there's more to the story than meets the eye. Let me give you an example. The mass murderer jihadist, who Obama said will get due process, visited a strip club several times before the massacre at Fort Hood. Now, why is it important that he visit? That I tell you he visited a strip club? First of all, the doorman remembers him paying his $15 cover charge, showing his military ID, and staying for 6 or 7 hours. The important thing to know is this holy piece of garbage, this white-clad piece of dreck. I love they put on the holy robe before they become cowardly murderers. I love it. Don't get me started on this. I'm constraining myself today. The mass murderer, holy man, went to a strip club before the massacre, okay? What does it have to do with the price of eggs? Because if you remember 9/11, the other holy men who slammed the two planes into the World Trade Center also visited strip clubs before they committed suicide in their jihad mission. Apparently there's kind of some dispensation before they get to the 72 virgins. Their purity is allowed to be tainted with prostitutes and strippers, but it doesn't cut into the 72 virgins that they get for their fine work here on the planet in killing infidels. So the mass murderer jihadist visited a strip club before massacre. Everything about it indicates this was a terrorist act. It is duplicative of 9/11 in every way. In every way. Emails to Yemen, blah, blah, blah. Giving away the Quran and the furniture, whatever, before he goes out on his killing spree. Going to strip clubs before. It's a duplicate, and the FBI flopped on it again. They had him in their sights, and they said, don't pursue it. We don't want to offend Muslims because... Georgia, Amy, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to agree with you in your fury and rage. You said yesterday that you wanted to turn tables over in a restaurant. I feel the same exact way, and I walk around in my community, and they act like nothing's happened.
No, it's like zombies.
Yeah.
Hi, what'd you do for Halloween? What are you doing for Thanksgiving? How do you make your stuffing? It's beyond belief. We're living in a nation of zombies. That's how this government gets away with what they're doing.
And what do we do to stop it?
Nothing.
Everywhere.
Nothing. Nothing. How do you like that? I could say nothing. I mean, I'm doing something about it. You could do it by talking about it as you're doing, but you can do it in church. You can do it with your neighbors, just casually. You can do it on supermarket lines. I mean, you can do it if 10 million people started talking about the somnolence of the American intelligence agencies and the absolute evil that is emerging on our shores. Perhaps the American people will get the message. I don't know that it can. I don't know if the American people can receive this message. I don't know, but I thank you for the phone call. 1-800, I don't want to read the number again. I really don't. Let's take the calls. How's that? Calls are good. Mass murderer, jihadist visit at strip club before massacre. Oh, our Attorney General Holder, you know him, the one who released the Puerto Rican terrorists and Mark Rich, the money launderer. Remember him? Picked by Obama, handpicked to be the next Attorney General, the top cop in America. He's giving a keynote speech to a group that includes the local branch of CAIR, even though the FBI has formally severed contacts with this shady group, CAIR. CARE, our top cop, even after the Fort Hood massacre, has the agates to give a speak to a CareLink group. That's how much the Obama administration gives a rat's behind about what you, the American people, think about them. They are beyond comprehension. You know, even from a political point of view, they've lost the Army vote. Let me be very clear. Any member of the armed forces who ever votes for a Democrat again is a suicidal maniac, in my opinion. The Democrats have lost the military vote forever over this Fort Hood massacre. Did you hear me? Write it down. Write it down. Anyone in the military or any military family member who ever votes for a Democrat again, because that's what they're doing to you, in my opinion. But I have no power. I don't exist. I'm the man who is never mentioned. I'm the man who is never talked about. I'm the man who has been silenced in Britain. And so, therefore, all I do is speak to you, my small audience of 10 million a week. 10 million a week, banned in Britain, beating the liberal blacklist. And I was banned, according to emails, to balance the list of banned Muslims in England. They made me a sacrificial lamb, those Labourites in England.
Savage.
It may be hard to comprehend the twisted logic that led to this tragedy.
Tragedy?
But this much we do know.
Wow.
No faith justifies these murderous and craven acts.
Hold it. Why don't you say the Muslim faith doesn't justify these murderous and craven acts? Don't genericize it. Go on. What?
For what he has done, we know that the killer will be met with justice in this world and the next.
That's nice. He sounds like the Reform rabbis I used to walk out on and the Reform priests that I used to walk out on. That's why I stopped going to synagogues and churches, was because of this kind of pabulum, this kind of crap, in other words, this kind of mediocre dreck. What are you talking in generic terms for? Why don't you say who did it and that he should rot in hell a million years? Why don't you say it like it is, Obama? Show leadership is what we're all screaming out for. You know, Wesley Pruden wrote an interesting article in the Washington Times. And he said, there is a fatal reluctance to see evil. George Washington, Robert E. Lee, U.S. Grant, John J. Pershing, George S. Patton, and even Dwight D. Eisenhower never acted as if diversity is more important than the ability to kill bad guys. But look what we have now in the form of General Casey, Obama, and the FBI. Did you hear General Casey the other day? Play Casey the other day giving a sermon on diversity. Listen to this.
Our diversity, not only in our Army, but in our country, is a strength. And as horrific as this tragedy was, if our diversity becomes a casualty, I think that's worse. But I think we as an Army have to be broad enough to bring in people from all walks of life.
You hear? This is unbelievable. Now, I want to give you a historical reference. This kind of slaughter is on a small scale compared to what leaders usually do to troops, by the way. I'm reminded of the massacre of British troops at Gallipoli. It's prior to World War I, it's during World War I. The troops were sent into a suicide mission. The Turks were emplaced in the hills, and they shot the British boys down like they were shooting in a shooting gallery. They slaughtered thousands and thousands of them, just wasted lives. It was such a scandal in Britain that the architect of the Gallipoli campaign, none other than Winston Churchill, was so humiliated by his failure to understand his lack of strategic conceptualization that Winston Churchill, who was behind the massacre, resigned and went to the front lines in World War I. Why doesn't General Casey go to the front lines in Afghanistan and show us that he really means it? Why don't any of these other old men with the scrambled eggs on their hats, who look like glorified ushers in a movie theater, why don't they just go to the front lines and show us the shame that they feel? The answer is they don't feel any shame. The answer is every one of these deadbeats has a public relations agent. Every one of these deadbeats is no different than your local Democrat corrupt congressman or alderman from Chicago. They're all the same. One and the same. One and the same. We live in a homogenized, public relationized world of double talk and lies. And that's why the jihadists can get away with this. See, they don't live in double talk and lies. They're very clear. We're going to kill you and or convert you. That's all. They say it like it is. You got to hand it to them. They know what they want. They want to convert you or kill you. They don't need a PR agent. They don't give a damn if you know it. In fact, they want you to know it. In fact, Major Hassan didn't mince words. They tried to throw him out of Walter Reed a few years before. He was such a pain in the behind. He was such a jihadist even then. A verbal jihadist. Talking against the military. Talking against the war. Talking about Muslims being oppressed. He was clear about it. But the military chose not to throw him out of Walter Reed Army Hospital because they were afraid. Did you hear this story or not? Do you think I'm just telling you a story? You think I'm just making this up for you? This came out today on, of all places, National Proletariat Radio, NPR. Listen to clip one.
During most of the 6 years that Hassan was in and out of Walter Reed, they say some colleagues felt very, very troubled by his work. They say he seemed detached. He was uninterested. He often didn't show up for work on time. He'd be the psychiatrist on call. That means he's the go-to guy, right, for urgent psychiatric matters. So doctors would call him, and he would not answer the phone. There's a key committee at Walter Reed called the Policy Committee. This is the one that oversees the residents. And they got reports that Hassan had tried to convert a patient. He reportedly told the patient that Islam would save his soul.
Now listen to the next clip.
Some wanted to get rid of him. A couple years ago, a new director took over the psychiatric residency program. His name is Scott Moran. And an official who was close to this process told me that Moran felt they should kick Hassan out of the program because he so consistently was underperforming. In fact, Moran reportedly was telling his colleagues, and I'm quoting here secondhand, "I don't think Hassan should carry the Walter Reed name. If you want to get rid of a resident at Walter Reed, like Nidal Hassan, I mean, it's almost like going to court, not quite that much, but you have to have a long paper trail, details documenting what he's done wrong. You have to show that you've tried to remediate his behavior. Two committees have to vote on it. Then the resident can hire a lawyer and appeal."
Well, let's cut to the clip four where the Muslim part comes in.
One of the key officials at Walter Reed, who's close to the policy committee, told me that some of the members sat around saying, "And how will it look if we kick out one of the few Muslim residents in our program?" Word is that earlier this year, they basically read Hassan the Riot Act, and they said, this is it. You know, it's now or never. And they say, according to his supervisors, he did improve. He started showing up on time. He was more focused. So they said, you know, let's let him go to Fort Hood, and let's hope he does even better there.
So they didn't fire this bum because he was a Muslim, even though they knew he was a ticking time bomb. Now we turn to Fox News. I want you to listen to a man named Jerry Rivers, who gave away troop positions during the Iraq War. Listen to clip five.
Well, I don't know what motivates him, John Stossel, but to suggest that he's a terrorist, doesn't that of necessity require that he conspires with someone, that he has some communication? As far as I know, his computer shows no links with anybody. This is a guy, he's a sociopath, he's a criminal. He could have had a toothache and gone off because of that.
Thank you, Roger Ailes. I appreciate your superb reporters in the form of Jerry Rivers. Really, it's really heart-rending. You know, we have the White House attacking Fox News. We took the side of Fox News. I defended Fox News because despite their flaws, and I have many myself, they're on the right side of things. Okay, so we have to stick together in that regard. I really don't care that they don't have the guts and the brains to understand my dilemma with England, but that's my problem, not theirs. But they have a guy like Jerry Rivers on the air who suggests it was a toothache that made Hassan kill all these people. And he says, as far as he knows, there were no links to anybody else. Basic reportage would indicate that everybody who studied this knows that the jihadist tried to contact Al-Qaeda several times, Jerry. You know, you're no longer on the streets of New York City with a microphone running around with the morph there, covering traffic incidents in the 1970s. And you running around sticking microphones in people's faces with the morph is a long time over, Jerry. The whole world watches you and they're laughing at you. Fatal reluctance to see evil. It spread even to Fox News, 90% owned by a Saudi, incidentally, in case you want to know what that's all about. There are many other stories on my website, michaelsavage.com. Here's one about Tony Blankley. He is a guy who has posed as a conservative while it was politically expedient to do so. He is now pushing Hillary Clinton. I swear to God, Tony Blankley has come out and said Hillary Clinton would make a good president. I swear to you, look what's going on around you. You got turncoats wherever you look. And where's the Homeland Security chief? What does she have a $1 trillion budget for? Where is she? Where was she? While this was going on, she ran out of the country, went to Dubai to talk to shrouded women to make sure, she said, that there's going to be no anti-Muslim sentiment in America when she gets through Sieg Heil. You hear this? That's her job. Big sis. Big sis is amiss. That's the head of Homeland Security. That's the head of Homeland Security. So we got a head of Homeland Security who did nothing to protect the troops. They're dead. We got a chief of staff of the Army who not only after the fact says that he's sorry, he doesn't say that. He says we must protect diversity, uber alles. We got a president who says mumbo jumbo, due process, blah, blah, blah. We got an attorney general who's going to go to a meeting with a care back group. And we're sitting here like sheep waiting for the next shoe to drop. So who do you blame for the attack? Me? You blame right-wingers for this? Who do you blame for this? The only result of this should be that the Democrats lose the entire military vote forever over this. I'd love to see a Rasmussen poll this week or next with a question that's loaded. Like, in light of the Fort Hood massacre and the chain of emails that the government failed to fire Hassan, would you ever vote for a Democrat again, yes or no? I'd get 100% no on that one. See, I can load the question being trained in statistics. They won't ask such a question. I mean, that's the kind of question to ask. If you want to get the other result, you ask a different question, something that Obama's communications czar would put out. Anyway, that's the story. What do you want me to talk about? The dog? What I cooked last night, the Trojan horse. 10% of U.S. mosques preach hate and jihad, according to the FBI. And we do nothing about it and sit there and say, ooh, don't say mosque. Don't say Muslim. Don't look at them the wrong way. Because Janet Napolitano is liable to come for you with a black helicopter. And then let the left wing ridicule you. Because you're a paranoid right winger. If only you were more liberal and you could only get along, you would just be fine. They wouldn't have done it. If old Major Hassan had tooth work, says Geraldo Rivera, he probably wouldn't have shot it up. He needed tooth work. I guess Geraldo Rivera was implicating that there wasn't enough good dental work in that Fort Hood or at Walter Reed, which is why he went off. I mean, you know, look, what do you want to be comedic in the political arena? You know, the Army failed. Homeland Security failed. FBI failed. So far as we know, the CIA failed. The American media failed. Everyone failed. That's all. Our people are dead. And what will happen as a result? Nothing. Nothing. Lieberman will rightly run a commission. There'll be a report that costs $15 million at the very least. They'll visit Fort Hood. They'll visit Walter Reed. The schmucks will go. They'll fly to the Middle East. They'll go to a diversity session. They'll travel to Malaysia where moderates live. They'll travel around the world and dine on lamb around the world. They'll come back in 2 years, they'll write a report saying, although the Fort Hood incident was a tragedy that could have been averted, it really couldn't have been averted, and the reason it couldn't have been averted is owing to the political situation of the complicated relationship between folks of a certain religion, without mentioning the religion, and the overall structure of the Army that needs a few of these people for translation purposes. And therefore, although it could have been prevented and people wouldn't be dead, it couldn't have been prevented because of the way the structural implications of the structure of the military transformational abilities were structured by the generals who were in charge with the and the cranberries on the hat because they have a contracting job waiting in Bosnia when this is over with the former Homeland Security chief who went to work for Albania a day after he left the Homeland Security Department. And they'll go to Saudi Arabia as consultants to the king himself, dining again on lamb and the dancing girls. And therefore, we conclude that nothing really happened. There actually wasn't a massacre. Most of these people passed away from old age. The rest of them died of heart attacks and natural causes on the floor of Fort Hood. And there was no hero because nothing actually happened. And God bless America. Over there, I'll be back.
Savage.
Well, go to michaelsavage.com, listen to the show. I mean, when I make these statements, I do my research. If I say to you that there's a paper trail, an email trail, the military was watching them, they didn't do their job, they failed due process of their own, they have negligence up and down the chain of command in the Army, in the FBI, in the White House. The White House now is saying that he cracked from stress. The FBI knew the alleged Fort Hood shooter, alleged, after he did this act, Hassan, they called him the shooter. Now they're calling the alleged shooter. But no threat, said the FBI. Today they buried 13 people. And by the way, the woman that they said was the hero, I'm sure she is a hero because she at least stood up and fired at, back and forth with this guy. She actually didn't take him down. He was taken down by a former Army guy who came in and saw what was going on and then shot him four times. She was already on the ground, the poor woman. But remember what the media wanted. The Muslim killer was the victim, and the woman cop was the hero. They already had the storyline. I had an old acquaintance many years ago, went into the news business. He told me 50% of the stories were made up as a young reporter. He was told by their editor-in-chief, make it up. He started by working the obituaries and then the religious beat. They make up the stories, they make up the facts. You think anything has changed since? Man bites dog. Not dog bites man. So the story is Muslim, who was the killer, was the victim. And the woman who shot it out with him, who got shot herself and was on the ground when the actual white male soldier came in and killed and knocked him down with four shots, that you don't even hear about the white male soldier. He's got to not even be in the picture. See, they had to have a hero. It had to be a woman. Because the vermin in the media have their storylines already laid out. Imam's good. All Muslims victims. Military bad. Guns bad. Read the stories. Radical cleric calls Hassan a hero. You hear? Radical cleric. I wouldn't call him a radical cleric. I wouldn't call him that at all. Anyway, I think I'm fed up with this because I've said all I'm going to say. The only thing that should happen is that Democrats should lose the military vote over this forever. But I don't think that that's going to happen. I think a lot of people in the military are naive. They don't even know who to blame. I don't think they know who to blame. Truthfully, they're already. The most of these people are so numb from what happened to them and the brainwashing of diversity training, which should be eliminated. What are you people, crazy? After Pearl Harbor, we should take our boys and teach them how to make sushi for the Japanese when they meet them over there. Now, boys, you're going to be going over to some islands where there's some folks of a different religion, a Shinto religion, an ancestry, and we don't want you to hate them in advance and don't consider them enemies. None of them are enemies. They're men just like you. So when you engage with combat with them, what we want you to do is offer them a medley of sushi. We're going to give you each a sushi tray, so that when you encounter Japanese troops in Iwo Jima, you don't actually fire your gun first. You give them the benefit of the doubt. You give them a medley of sushi, and you come out and you try to speak a few words in Japanese, in order not to insult their sacred ancient language and culture. Because you're just a dirtbag white boy from the Midwest with no religion of any consequence and no background. Of course, that's not what was done. That's why we won the war. The boys were trained to kill. The boys were trained to hate. As a result, some of them lived and a lot of them died. Right now, we have lost everything. We've lost our honor. We've lost our dignity. We're losing our intelligence, our sanity, and our survival itself. There's a meltdown that's occurred in this country along the lines of a Chernobyl meltdown. It started 40 years ago when liberalism resurfaced after World War II. It transmuted into a virus after the Vietnam War. It has now resulted in this radical leftist president surrounded by overt Marxists, communists, Leninists, and Maoists in the White House, with a press corps 98% infected by this mentality. And as a result, we have a populace that is so dumbed down and beaten up and nullified by the government media complex that they've turned away from the news. The people have turned away. They don't want to know. They figure, what the hell can I do about it? I look at the zombies walking around here in San Francisco. What do they know? Fort Hood, Fort Schmud. They could care less. It didn't hit them in the head. And they're no different than the ancient Romans. I told you that when I started in radio in 1994. I brought some history to radio, and I said the ancient Roman cared nothing about what the legions were doing in France, which was called something else then, or wherever. They didn't care what the Roman legions were doing. They could care less. You know what they cared about? The pebble in their shoe. According to Cato the Elder, the Roman historian, the ancient Romans cared about the pebble in the shoe, meaning what is it affecting them that minute in their shoe, meaning bread and butter issues. That's all mankind has ever cared about. And truthfully, I understand this. So Fort Hood is not real to the average American. I only hope it's real to all the military families listening to the show, and you spread the word by email never to vote for a Democrat again.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Together, filled with sorrow for the 13 Americans that we have lost, with gratitude for the lives that they led, and with a determination to honor them through the work we carry on. This is a time of war. Yet these Americans did not die on a foreign field of battle. They were killed here, on American soil.
Executed
in the heart of this great state, in the heart
executed
of this great
by a radical Muslim
community.
Because of the failure of the army and the FBI and your office and political correctness and liberalism, the disease. Thanks for the whitewash, President Obama. Thanks for giving America nothing to do with leadership. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the Fort Hood massacre. We're talking about the fact that they're going to cover it up, whitewash it. They've done it already. And the only punishment that you can inflict upon the radicals who are responsible for this, whether they be in the very intelligence agencies, the Army, or the White House itself, the only power you have is to never vote for a Democrat, especially a radical liberal Democrat, ever again, if you're a military veteran or in the military as a family member or has a member in there. That's all you've got. All you got is the vote. That's all you've got left is the vote. Now, they're working overtime, the Dems, to take away the power of your vote by diluting it. As you well know, you can dilute a drink by adding more mixer to it. And, of course, the way you dilute the vote is by adding more mixer to the vote by bringing in illegal aliens and have them vote. So when the sheep will say, but wait a minute, we're citizens, they shouldn't vote. And the Dems say, we're not going to ask for any ID. Then you know they're working for the enemy. They're on the other side. All of the men who died in this country to give you the right to vote died for nothing. The liberal Democrats fundamentally are working against democracy. The liberal Democrats in this country are working for the other team. They're working for the other side. They're covering up the worst mass murder in the history of the U.S. military on U.S. soil. They're sweeping it under the rug. They're blaming you for even understanding why this happened. And no one is going to pay for this. Nobody. Lieberman will conduct an investigation. Make no mistake about it. There will be an investigation, but it'll be a whitewash like 9/11. This government is no different than every other government. It's going to be swept under the rug. There'll be no responsibility. The generals who let this happen by not taking Hassan out of the army when he started to show these signs, they'll move on to jobs as consultants and such. Nobody will be fired for this. And the band played on, as they said in the 1980s when the AIDS epidemic was just starting and could have been stopped. Gay activist Randy Schultz said, and the band played on. And the band played on. And right now, Obama's band is playing on the back of the Titanic as the good ship liberal coup goes down. But the question today is, who is to blame? Who do you blame? Is it the FBI? Is it the U.S. Army? Is it the White House? Is it the media? Who? Who? Tell me who. Who do you think is the most responsible for this? Who? I mean, there were investigators following this piece of garbage. They threw out the investigation because they didn't want it to embarrass a Muslim. Ooh, we can't do that. Teddy, they're talking about whether opportunities were missed to head off the massacre. No, no opportunity was missed. The guy was a ticking time bomb, indicated at every step of the way from back in Washington, D.C. No, there were no opportunities missed. U.S. military was aware of a behavior by this, they call him a massacre suspect. Don't you love this? Massacre suspect. After he did the massacre and they thought he was dead, they called him the gunman. Now he's a massacre suspect already. Senior defense official said neither the Army nor any other part of the Defense Department knew of Hassan's contacts with any Muslim extremists. But the defense official carefully conceded this view was based upon what the Pentagon knows now. What the hell is going on? What the hell is going on here? What the heck is going on here? People say that he acted alone, even though he communicated with Anwar al-Awlaki, an imam released from a Yemeni jail last year, who has used his website to encourage Muslims across the world to kill U.S. troops in Iraq? Because the communication between Major Hassan and al-Awlaki did not contain threats or advocacy of violence, the schmucks couldn't do a thing. They needed body bags. And now that they have body bags, they can't do anything either. Crippled, a paralyzed nation, a helpless, pitiful giant. A helpless, pitiful giant. So according to an article, 10% of U.S. mosques preach hatred and jihad against infidels. That's in the U.S. FBI estimates. This is an article by Ronald Kessler in Newsmax. Imams preach jihad and extremism in 10% of the 2,000 mosques in the United States, the FBI estimates. You won't read that. You won't read that in the morning paper. Did you know that about a quarter of the Muslims in America ages 18 through 29 believe that suicide bombings can be justified? According to who? Right-winger? Maniac right-wingers? No, it's according to a liberal pollster, the Pew Research Center poll. That 25%, according to the liberal poll of Pew, they say 25% of the young Muslims, 18 to 29, believe that suicide bombings can be justified. So the number must be 50% if the liberals say it's 25%. Where are they getting the hatred from? They come from their hellhole nations. They're throwback hellhole nations. They run out of there. They run from the hellhole third world nations. And they come here, and instead of embracing America and its opportunities, despite the challenges, the imams preach hate. The imams preach killing and hate right here on our soil. And again, the government does not a damn thing. Not a damn thing is done. Instead, they attack talk radio for trying to sound the alarm. Instead, a guy like me, who has been trying to sound the alarm as a modern Paul Revere since 1994, instead of giving me the Presidential Medal of Honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, rather, they write a letter to their cronies over there, the drug addicts in the Brown administration, and they ban me from a Western nation, and you do nothing about it. Now, I want to thank those of you who contributed to the Michael Savage Legal Defense Fund, and I want to thank all of you who bought Banned in Britain. But it's a sorry, sorry day that you don't see the bigger picture. You have an army that failed. You have a security agency that learned nothing from 9/11. Nothing. Zero. Don't you understand? This is exactly like 9/11. Hear this piece of garbage, this human offal, Major Hassan. I don't call him alleged anything. This piece of garbage. It's a Major Hassan. Major Hassan put on the holy robes the morning of the massacre. Major Hassan had visited strip clubs prior to the massacre. The holy roller there. Mr. Purity, the holy roller. For his sacred beliefs, Mr. Holy Roller. But apparently they get dispensation before they kill infidels. They can go to a whorehouse or they can go to a strip club, rather. They're allowed to drink whiskey. They can go out with the hookers, whatever. They get dispensation in order before to visit the virgins, they can soil themselves. Just like the 9/11 suicide hijackers did. They went to strip clubs, shaved off the beards. And we, no, it's not terrorism. No. This is a toothache that caused it. He had a bad tooth, according to Jerry Rivers, Geraldo Rivera on Fox News. It's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable. Hassan's electronic interactions with al-Awlaki have drawn new attention to the imam. I love imam. You know who these imams are? Imam, like there's something special. Oh, yeah, look out. Oh, he's an imam. Get on your hands and imam. Imam. Oh, Sidel, imam. You know, I got an idea. Here's a little idea for you to let it percolate through America. Remember after the molestation scandals in a Catholic church, the bishops were sued by the radicals in America? The radical left sued the bishops saying that they could have stopped it. They could have stopped the molestations, or they knew that it was going on. Right? Why don't you start suing the mosques that are preaching hatred and jihad in America? Take them for everything they're worth. Sue the imams, sue the mosques. The same way that the Catholic Church was punished for looking the other way, the same way the Catholic Church lost billions of dollars in lawsuits brought by wonderful, brilliant young legal minds from NYU and Columbia who hate the Catholic Church with a vengeance you could never understand. It's encoded in their DNA. These geniuses in the liberal bloc, the lawyers from New York, who sued the Catholic Church for everything they were worth, destroying one diocese after another like a virus that hit the Catholic Church. And the way they got them was they said, well, you knew what was going on and you covered it up. That precedent could be used to bring down these radical imams and these radical mosques. What do you think of my idea? Want to comment on that? I'll be right back.
Savage.
We are a nation that endures because of the courage of those who defend it. We saw that valor in those who braved bullets here at Fort Hood just as surely as we see it in those who signed up knowing they would serve in harm's way. We are a nation of laws whose commitment to justice is so enduring that we would treat a gunman and give him due process just as surely as we will see that he pays for his crimes.
Well, I don't know what motivates him, John Stossel, but to suggest that he's a terrorist, doesn't that of necessity require that he conspires with someone, that he has some communication? As far as I know, his computer shows no links with anybody. This is a guy, he's a sociopath, he's a criminal. He could have had a toothache and gone off because of that.
That's Fox News today. That's the level of journalism with Jerry Rivers. Toothache did it. He doesn't even know the basics. I mean, go to any report, my website, Drudge. The FBI had data going back to 2008. They were seeing connections between him and radical clerics in Yemen. But it didn't reach Jerry Rivers there. He's busy learning navigational skills. So should you be directed to God today? Do you still have faith? Do you still have faith? Do you have any faith today? What's left? Let's look at the government itself. We have open borders with Mexico. The illegal immigrants are flooding, and even though the people have screamed, stop it. You have a Homeland Security Department that we got trillions of dollars burning like garbage to protect us. She's over in Dubai giving a lecture on she's going to make sure that there's no anti-Muslim sentiment in America. Big sis is over there. So every government agency, the SEC failed us and Madoff even laughed at them. The bankers got away with a 9/11 on Wall Street. Every government agency is set up not to do its job but to deceive the people. So now you say, well, wait a minute. Now you got leftists in the government who are saying anyone who criticizes them is anti-government and therefore a right-winger and an extremist and dangerous. So where does it leave you, the people? Which side are you on? You mean you like the way the borders are open with Mexico? You think that's a fine thing? That your vote is being diluted? Your hospitals are being destroyed? Your schools are being destroyed? Your jails are overloaded with illegal aliens who came here to murder, kill, and maim, rape, drive drunk? So your borders are open, even though the INS is supposed to, they call it something else now, ICE they call it, they give it a new name. And I meet a lot of the guys who work for these agencies. They're as brave and as tough as Elliot Ness. They're great guys. They're the great guys, but the management is the same at every level. You know, my father used to say to me that Coney Island, at low tide, something floats too. He used to tell me something floats, and he said it comes up at low tide. Who do you think rises to the top of any agency? Double-talking, backstabbing vermin. Almost without exception, you look at the top of any agency, the worst person usually rises to the top. The guy who actually wants to do his job, or the woman who wants to do her job and actually does it, and is not interested in promotions and honors, usually doesn't go very far. The one who always grandstands, the one who always looks for an opportunity, the one who always stabs his fellow workers in the back, is usually rewarded with the highest position and the most ribbons. And if they're really deceitful bastards, they usually become a congressman. And if they're exceptional at deceit, they become a senator. That's reserved for the very special. That's why I never went into politics. I could have run for office. I could have won a congressional seat or a Senate seat years ago. I know that. I have a very big reach. I'm a very popular figure in America. Did I say I'm the most popular? No. I have enough acclaim right now. People know me enough from my books and my talking to win a congressional seat or a Senate seat. I've told you for years I'm never going to run for office. I told you why. I don't have the nature for it. I'm too blunt. I'm too straightforward. I don't have the patience for BS. I can't sit through meetings. I don't want to do fundraising. So in other words, my nature is not made for politics. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So you got a few people out there who are worthy of your respect in the political arena. And you got a few out there who want to run, who I back, who are worth backing. I had Lieutenant Colonel West on last week. I'm going to give him money and try to get a fundraiser for him. Even Senator Lieberman, an independent, is going to conduct an investigation of this. Now, you know the investigation will be swept under the rug by the Marxists in the Obama White House. You know that. That you know already. That's a given. So you have to revert to a faith in yourself, and you have to revert in faith in God. You say, well, how can I believe in God? I watch National Geographic. You know, 93 million years ago, where I sat, a dinosaur took a dump, and they found there's coprolites. What are you talking about? There's no yesterday. There's no tomorrow. What are you care about and talking about? Nonsense. God. What are you, a child? You believe in Santa Claus? How can an educated man like you even talk about such a thing as a God? Go prove it to me. Go prove to me that such an entity exists. I live for myself. I care nothing about my neighbor. I'm a totally amoral man, and I'm proud of it. In fact, I'm so amoral that I'm going to run for the mayorship of San Francisco, and if I'm really amoral, I'll become a governor. And worse yet, I'll become a senator in San Francisco. That shows you what I think about God. But I will use God to get the fools who go into the churches and the synagogues, of which there are still too many, to vote for me, because I have a cross on a book put out by Bill Clinton's bodyguard in Hollywood, who made up a fake Bible.
Savage.
All right, well, there's a food fight going on in the government over who blame should fall upon. The government itself of Obama, because of the political mentality of that government. Here's a new story came out minutes ago. 10 minutes ago, DOD worker assessed Fort Hood suspect months ago. A Defense Department investigator on a terrorism task force looked into Fort Hood shooting suspect Nidal Hassan's background months ago, officials said today, providing fresh evidence the military knew worrisome details about the Army psychiatrist before last week's deadly rampage. Two officials speaking on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to discuss the case on the record said the Washington-based Joint Terrorism Task Force, overseen by the FBI, was notified of communication between Hassan and a radical imam overseas, and the information was turned over to a Defense Criminal Investigative Service employee assigned to the task force. The worker wrote up an assessment of Hassan after reviewing the Army Major's personnel file and the communications. The assessment concluded Hassan did not merit further investigation, in large part because his communications with the imam were centered on a research paper he was writing at the time, and the investigator had concluded Hassan was, in fact, working on such a paper, the official said. Now, the question to me, here's the questions immediately. Who was the worker? Who was the Defense Criminal Investigative Service employee? Was he himself a Muslim or was she a Muslim? That's number one. I'm sorry. You don't want to hear it. It's too bad. Tune into NPR. So was he covering up or was she covering up for Hassan? Number two, Hassan did not merit further investigation because his communication with the imam was centered on a research paper he was writing at the time. So this could be a new game that Al-Qaeda plays with their sleepers in America, whereas that whenever they communicate, they make it look like they're doing a research paper. See, something a college student could figure out, but apparently the flat feet in the Army couldn't figure out. They're playing triple chess, and these schmucks are playing backgammon. Duh, he was doing a research paper, and so therefore we had no reason to investigate. We were on the golf course with some defense contractors, and we have got some big projects in store. Let me read you a little fable here. Worker wrote up an assessment on Hassan, concluded Hassan did not merit further investigation, large part because the communication with the imam was centered on a research paper he was writing at the time. So the schmuck in the DOD said, bingo, let's pass the buck. Okay, so they didn't miss an opportunity? No? No kidding. They didn't miss an opportunity. In other words, no one had any responsibility. Let me read you about the Trojan horse. Did I read you the Trojan horse the other day? I read you. I'm not going to read it to you again. Okay, we got a Trojan horse inside the United States of America. The Trojan horse is called religion and the religious freedom. The Trojan horse is called the First Amendment. Now, the First Amendment is wonderful. I am protected by it. But if the vermin who want to kill us are using religious freedom and the First Amendment to get around being stopped, then we have a problem that can be resolved by profiling certain individuals who are known to be associated with terrorism. Do I have to spell it out? They are not Irish nuns. They are not Irish nuns. Would you like us to spend billions of dollars investigating Irish nuns? Or should we take the scarce resources of the various intelligence agencies and focus on the practitioners of a certain mindset? No, shouldn't do that because Eric Holder is liable to investigate you. So you get the picture of what happened? You get the picture? You had to figure it out, government media complex? Well, you don't get it. This was a preventable massacre. It was not prevented because of the liberal mindset of the government media complex. Now, who should be punished? Well, you could probably name a lot of people who should be fired. Some of them should be jailed. You heard me. Not only fired and their pensions taken from them, but put in prison for dereliction of duty. You know, you got Lieutenant Colonel Chassani. I've given him money. I raised money for him. The Thomas More Law Center is trying to protect this guy. You got a vicious government witch hunt on Chassani. He's a combat veteran who did nothing wrong. It was started by George Bush's regime. Bush did not pardon him. Bush could have pardoned him. This poor man is facing an administrative hearing in December that could destroy him, even though he was not responsible for anything that happened in Iraq. They're still pursuing the case against him. The very same Defense Department that did not stop Hassan wants to destroy Colonel Chassani. Which side are they on? Tell me which side the leadership of the Army is on. You tell me. You figure it out. Put two and two together. Here's some good news, if you're looking for good news. D.C. sniper Mohammed is going to be executed in a few hours. Mohammed, the sniper, the D.C. sniper. He was a Muslim convert, incidentally, I may mention. I'm not supposed to mention it, I guess. That should have no bearing on it. But apparently it had some bearing on why he shot so many people. He still won't say why. He says he's innocent. He's on death row. He's about to be given the needle, the magic needle tonight. In about an hour, I think they wheel him in on a gurney. Virginia's governor refused to spare the life of John Allen Mohammed and cleared the way for his execution Tuesday night for the sniper attacks in O2 that left 10 dead and spread such fear people were afraid to go shopping, cut grass, or pump gas. Remember that? Mohammed was set to die by injection at 9 p.m. after he exhausted his court appeals and Governor Tim Kaine denied clemency. Mohammed's attorneys had asked Kaine to commute his sentence to life in prison because they said he was mentally ill. Mentally ill. Yeah. Everyone's mentally ill. Okay, so that's the only good news out there. That's the good news. Mohammed has never testified or explained why he directed the attacks that terrorized the Washington region, with victims gunned down while doing everything, everyday chores. The terror ended when police captured Mohammed and Malvo as they slept in a car. Mohammed had been in and out of the military since he graduated from high school in Louisiana and entered the National Guard. A convert to Islam, John Allen Williams, would later change his name to Mohammed. That has no bearing on the case, of course. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. He joined the Army in 1985 and trained in Washington State as a combat engineer, did not take special sniper training, but earned an expert rating in the M16 rifle, the military cousin of the .223 caliber Bushmaster rifle used in the sniper shootings. Good gun. Very good gun. I like the Ruger Mini 14 myself. So, I guess you could say he had a toothache, Mohammed. Another one. Maybe Geraldo will go on the air and cry for him tonight after he's executed and gassed or whatever they do with the needle. Maybe Geraldo Rivera could say that the poor man, Mohammed, the sniper, is a misunderstood minority and he shouldn't have been executed because he needed dental work. That only if he had gotten dental work, there wouldn't have been a shooting. Death penalty opponents planned vigils across the state, and some were headed for Jarrett, about an hour south of Richmond, for the execution of Greensville Correctional Center. Beth Panilliotis, executive director of Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty, said those who plan to protest understand the fear that gripped the community, but, and the but is, blah, 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 the but is that they're butting in with justice. There it goes. So that's the story. They have more sympathy for a mass murderer than they do for the victims. Why? Why? Why would a liberal have more sympathy for a mass murderer who's about to be executed than the people he killed? There's only one answer. Because liberalism is a mental disorder. It has many manifestations, one of which is moral blindness, ethical absolution, relativism. Look, I wrote whole books on this subject, so I'm not going to do it now in 2 seconds. DOD worker assessed Fort Hood suspect months ago, but didn't do anything because the Fort Hood suspect was doing an investigation. In other words, he was writing the Yemeni imam, was supposed to understand, trying to contact Al-Qaeda because he was investigating them. You hear? That's like we had a talk show host here, some fat slob on a local station who's now in a slammer for child porno loads, downloads. Big liberal, by the way. Oh, yeah, Bernie Ward. Big liberal, year after year, attacking conservatives, hated the church. Attacked. Meanwhile, he was pleasuring himself to the pictures of children as young as infants. That fat vermin. Anyway, his defense from the lawyer he got here, this loser lawyer who's never actually won a case, so far as I know. Everyone pays him big bucks. The best defense attorney in San Francisco. Every case he loses. Anyway, his defense for Fatso was that he was not actually looking at the child porno for pleasure. He was doing a research project as a talk show host. You hear? That apparently didn't work with in the jury, so how could it work with Major Hassan? How could it work with the Department of Defense, but didn't work with a normal jury here in wherever he was tried? I wonder. What kind of thinking do they have in the military that they would say, wait a minute now, he said, oh, okay, he's trying to contact Al-Qaeda, but it's a research project. He's doing a term paper. I see. He's writing little love letters to Al-Qaeda, but it's a research paper, case closed. Let's move on. let's look at those nasty returning veterans, the combat veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan, and see if they're a potential threat against the government. That's what we'll spend our time on. That's all. Oh, God. What else is in the news that's so wonderful? It's horrible. I was in a dentist today. I have to have some surgery done, a tooth out, an implant in, and, you know, Medicaid. Luckily, I'm going to go to a dentist. It's lucky I have one, or else, you know, you never know. According to Geraldo Rivera, what might happen. But I'm deciding to have the tooth fixed now. I'm having dental work done, you know, as a preventive measure. I was thinking about that. It's going to cost thousands of dollars. I don't have insurance for this. Thousands of dollars to remove a tooth that's damaged and put one in. I have to pay with a credit card. What's going to happen under Obama? Could I go to a great dentist like this and pay for it myself? No, I have to go to some crackpot that they bring in from Yemen. Imagine my luck a couple of years from now and all the teeth need a replacement. A good dentist that I could pay won't be here. I'll have an immigrant from Yemen in a dental office provided by the government. And if I don't take it, I go to jail. Well, I'm getting the domino sets ready. I'm buying a 55 Buick, putting it up on milk crates. I'm ready for the Cuba that's emerging under Obama. That's his vision of a perfect society. Yes, indeedy. The Cubanization of the United States of America under Barack Hussein Obama. How much worse can it get? It will get much worse. Why? Because Al-Qaeda has tested with another sleeper that went off, and it worked. The schmucks are discussing what to do. Let me ask you something. In Yemen, if they caught an American white guy who went into a military and then got in the Yemeni army, and then he went on a shooting spree and killed Muslims, you think they'd give him due process? You think there'd be who did it, that we know was responsible? You think that the murderer would be given around-the-clock care with a lawyer? I don't kind of think so. I don't think that in Yemen or Saudi Arabia or Syria, Lebanon, Albania, you name the Muslim-dominated nation, I just don't think there'd be any due process, even though we're told that they're more tolerant than we are. Right? We're just, you know, throwback people from another time. You know, we're not tolerant enough. We got to learn from our brethren around the world. That's why Obama gave a speech that you can't believe what you're listening to. No one is to blame. The man isn't named by name. His religion had nothing to do with it. His jihadi actions had nothing to do with it. They're still investigating. And he's an alleged shooter. And even though everyone screamed he was wearing the white robes, and now they finally went to strip clubs before he did the mass murder, just like the 9/11 hijackers. No one knows his motives, you hear? He could have had a bad tooth. A toothache did it, according to Geraldo Rivera. Play Geraldo Rivera so they understand what Fox News has become. Play it.
Well, I don't know what motivates him, John Stossel, but to suggest that he's a terrorist, doesn't that of necessity require that he conspires with someone, that he has some communication? As far as I know, his computer shows no links with anybody. This is a guy, he's a sociopath, he's a criminal. He could have had a toothache and gone off because of that.
See, this is what happens. Years of working the New York beat and getting away with it because no one took him seriously. And there he is. That's from the age of Gabe Press. Another genius. A genius. Genius with a microphone. A baby reading the internet knows the guy was trying to communicate with Al-Qaeda. An eighth grader who's studying this case knows that there were communications with Al-Qaeda. But Jerry Rivers of Fox News didn't know that. It was a toothache that did it. That's why he shot everybody. That's why I said I went to the dentist today. And the tooth is coming out Thursday because I want to do a preemptive attack upon my tooth to make sure that it doesn't drive me over the edge. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It may be hard to comprehend the twisted logic that led to this tragedy.
Now, let's stop here. It's not hard to comprehend. A, it's not twisted logic. It's hatred instilled in him, number one. And it wasn't a tragedy. It was a homicidal mass murder. Some would call it terrorism. So everything that Obama said today was, again, double talk and spin. That's all. The only good news is that Anita Dunn, the White House communications director who attacked Fox News, conservative radio, and glorified Mao Zedong is gone. They threw her out. You remember her? Done. Remember that? Listen to clip six to know, see what's going on around Obama.
And then the third lesson and tip actually come from two of my favorite political philosophers, Mao Zedong and Mother Teresa, not often coupled with each other.
You hear?
But the two people that I turn to most.
You hear?
To basically deliver a simple point, which is you're going to make choices. You're going to challenge. You're going to say, why not?
Right, get her off the show. Get this thing off my show. Here is the White House communications czar, Anita Dunn, praising a mass murderer, Mao Zedong, and putting him in the same league as Mother Teresa and poisoning the minds of young children. So, in other words, they threw her overboard. Obama understands she's a liability the same way that guy was with the other czar. I forget his name. The one who ran Cop Watch from Oakland. What's his name? Van Johnson. He's gone, too. So they got rid of two. That's two czars out. About 10 more to go. So you got a president surrounded by communists, Maoists, Marxists, Leninists, overtly in their writings and their speeches. And he gives a speech at the Fort Hood Memorial Service today that's full of pabulum. Embarrassing. Just an embarrassment. No leadership. A cover-up. So the only people left are the people of the America itself. Who else are you going to go to? The worst mass murder spree to U.S. military base in history. That's all. Who should be fired? Where were the MPs? I'll keep asking again, where were the MPs? No one's asking. They're saying who's to blame and warning signs. All right, good questions. Why were there no armed MPs at the door? Why has that not come up? Any of the geniuses in the media didn't ask the question? How'd this schmuck walk through with two loaded pistols? And why were the troops without weapons? Why were there no sidearms, not a gun in the house? Where were the guns? Well, that we know the answer to. Jimmy Carter, the jihad lover, in my opinion, and the Jew hater, in my opinion, Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter disarmed the U.S. troops so far as my research has uncovered. It was him who took the guns away from the men in the barracks and on bases, except during training. They could get wooden guns, apparently. You know, sort of like that. Remember the coal on the Clinton? The men on the deck had unarmed weapons with no bullets in them. They had to ask the approaching, you know, rubber boat, you know, were they coming with wares to sell before they blew up the USS Cole, almost blew it in half. They were told not to offend Muslims in the area of Yemen. Remember under Bill Clinton what we went through? No different today. John in Houston, Texas, go ahead. You're up in the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate your show. And I just wanted to tell you, the other night when you were playing those taps, everybody in the whole neighborhood had their radio cranked up, absolutely freaking out, man. They were all in tears listening to that, Mr. Savage.
Oh, what, am I the only one in America who understands their actual dead? How come they didn't play taps now? I'm going to do it now. Everyone listening to the Savage Nation, will you kindly stand if you're at home? Turn up your radio, open your windows, flash your lights if you're on the road. This is in the memory of those who died at Fort Hood and those who will die in this country in the future because of liberalism, the mental disorder.
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
in light of the massacre at Fort Hood, 10% of U.S. mosques preach jihad, according to an FBI estimate. You won't read that in your local paper at all. No, you won't read that in your paper, but it gets worse. Imams preach jihad and extremism in 10% of the 2,000 mosques in the U.S., according to an FBI estimate that has not been released to the public. But here it gets worse. About a quarter of Muslims in America ages 18 to 29 believe that suicide bombings can be justified, according to a Pew Research Center poll. Did you hear what I just said to you? Pew Research Center is an extreme liberal poll. So they're saying a quarter of the young Muslims believe that suicide bombings can be justified. You could just imagine what the real number is. Now, where do they get these attitudes, these young Muslims? Why, they're the imams in the mosques who preach hatred and jihad in American mosques and by posting them on the Internet. That is according to FBI counterterrorism officials. Have a nice day. In light of that, the New York Times went further. They gave a false impression that Catholic Medal of Honor winner was a Muslim. Did you hear that? A front page article in the November 9th, New York Times newspaper, played up the thousands of Muslims in the U.S. military and how their service is more necessary and more complicated than ever before. And then this jerk went on to give the false impression that a Medal of Honor winner named near the end of her piece was a Muslim herself when he was actually Catholic. She wrote this sugary piece about Muslims entitled, "Complications Grow for Muslims Serving in the U.S. Military." See, it wasn't about the victims of the Muslim murderer. It was about the complications that really don't exist, that are going to be existing if they keep this up. Anyway, the actual Medal of Honor winner was a Catholic who died in 2006 after he jumped on a grenade to save the lives of fellow SEALs. How do you like that? And the Times said that he was a Muslim. How do you like that? Tonight, Mr. Muhammad, the Beltway sniper, a convert to Islam, as a side note, will be executed. The Supreme Court refused to stay the execution. He was a small bunko artist who converted to Islam in prison and then went on to bigger and better things. He gets to meet the 72 virgins tonight. From Politico, despite the ban, Attorney General Holder to speak to CAIR tonight. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? The top law enforcement official is going to speak before a group tied to a non-indicted co-conspirator in a terrorism trial. New York Times. Democrats raise alarms over costs of health bills. Ha, ha, ha. Washington Times, fuzzy math could drive health care bills cost higher. Boston Globe, U.S. congressman won grants for agencies linked to his wife. No. 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 Boston Globe, climate change terrorists, activists, rousted for trespassing on the Boston Common, camping college students told to disperse. Oh, how exciting. How dangerous. Washington Post, on to the real news, Fort Hood suspect. By the way, he was known as the shooter when they thought he was dead. He became a suspect after it was found that he was alive. Fort Hood suspect, Major Hassan, was being followed by the FBI for over a year. But he wrote articles warning about the threats against Muslims. He cited stress facing Muslims. Can you believe this? Fox News, radical imam praises alleged Fort Hood shooter, urges Muslims to follow in his footsteps. New Jersey Star, legend, New Jersey soldier wounded in Fort Hood shooting, still wants to go to Afghanistan. You know, the biggest story I haven't mentioned yet, which is that Obama's spokesmouth, one of his chief spokesmouth, is gone. This is the woman who attacked Fox News. This is the woman who started a war with conservatives and radio. This is the woman who cheered on Mao Tse-tung. Her name, Czar Anita Dunn. She's gone. Thrown overboard. I guess she lost that battle. That's two for conservatives and zero for the libs. She went, and that other character went, the other czar. What was his name, Beowulf?
Oh, Van Jones, the green job czar.
So that's two czars gone, only 10 more to go. Washington Times, defense nominee won't reveal potential conflicts. Frank Kendall III declines to name six recent private clients. Huh. Let's hope one of them isn't the government of Al-Qaeda. Washington Times. Democrats torn on Afghanistan and women's rights. Liberals torn between bringing troops home, protecting Afghan women from Taliban regime. Oh, my. Washington Post. Newt Gingrich, no longer conservative about his religion. Of course not. His religion is absolute chameleonship.
Is he conservative about anything?
Is he kidding me? Houston Chronicle. Fort Hood. Spiritual leaders warn against hate after Fort Hood tragedy. Can you imagine after Pearl Harbor, if they had lectured our boys don't hate the Japanese, what would have happened? What should they have done? Shucked raw oysters for the Japanese after that? Speaking of oysters, in a raw oyster trade, FDA safety proposal is tough to swallow. Agency wants Gulf Coast suppliers to zap bacteria. Politico says 10 Senate seats most likely to flip. USA Today, college football coaches see salaries rise in down economy. Now, there's a major league story, isn't it, Beowulf?
Oh, that's fantastic. Men in striped suits playing ball, and they're the ones that are making the money instead of the real Americans at work.
St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Illinois man found with bin Laden videos. Well, there's another czar in the making. If Obama hears of him, he can always hire him. L.A. Times, website listing addresses and aerial photos of celebrity homes comes under scrutiny. Alleged burglary ring had used it to case the homes of young Hollywood stars. Politico, Michelle Obama's poll numbers slide. I wonder why. Could it be her outfits? Must be the fact that she's done nothing. San Francisco Chronicle doesn't even report on the Fort Hood massacre, nor the celebration of their deaths today. Instead, they're concerned about the Bay Bridge after a trucker's death plunge on the new S-curve.
I'm surprised they don't sue the bay itself.
Well, that's right. I was out on my boat this weekend, and I did see some seals swimming near the Bay Bridge under construction, and they could be seen as a distraction. I think that they should exterminate all the seals in the bay in order to make certain that people don't look at seals while they're driving over the bridge.
Oh, God.
Right?
Makes as much sense.
They ought to also use pesticides to wipe out all the birds, too, because, look, if a person's driving on the bridge and they look at a bird going by, like a flock of pelicans, which is an awesome sight, Beowulf, that's dangerous for the driver's environment. And you could argue that birds should be exterminated.
Yeah, and sometimes the sun reflects off the water, distracting people. You know, we really ought to blot it out because it can impair people's driving.
Well, you could just leach oil onto the bay so it cuts down on the sheen. Did you hear this one? I put this up on michaelsavage.com. I got to go to it. It's about Mayor Daley, one of Obama's tormentors or mentors, whichever way you look at it.
Right.
Mayor Daley says that the guns were responsible for the Fort Hood massacre. Not Major Hassan, but guns. Did you see that story? It was amazing. It was well written by big government.
Yeah, they do a good job there. As soon as there's an opportunity for gun control, they take it.
Yeah. One could argue we need religion control, but if I name the religion that needs to be controlled, I guess it would be seen as too rational to be acceptable. Chicago Mayor Daley blames massacre on love of guns. Can you believe it? This is the guy who gave us Obama, now wants to take away our handguns. By the fact of the matter is, Beowulf, if the soldiers had not been disarmed by Jimmy Carter, meaning, you know, guns in the barracks, which I touched on last week, this piece of human offal, Major Hassan, would have been blown away much faster. Islamists are murdering people while shouting Allah Akbar. That's because of guns, not because of the hate being preached in 10% of the mosques. Have a nice day.
Savage.
It's time for something lighter. Joining us now is James Herson with his report on what's going on in Hollywood.
An amazing thing happened at a recent debut of a much-touted ABC television pilot. A not-so-subtle message was sent to a large viewing audience. The targets of the TV communication were Democrats in power. If you can believe it, the Obama administration, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and the Dems in Congress were smacked by Hollywood.
What? You're making this up.
Rather than use the tired old cliches of villainous conservatives, Christians, gun owners, you know, people who listen to the Savage Nation, this new show, V, went after the current D.C. free enterprise destroying agenda. And they did so with an interplanetary vengeance. Sci-fi tales are known as the repository for parables that describe current circumstances in society. Orwell, Huxley, and H.G. Wells wrote social commentary in the form of narrative fantasy. 1984 was a warning about totalitarianism. Brave New World showed the consequences of science without moral limitations. And War of the Worlds displayed the danger of complacency. But I wouldn't expect a primetime premiere of a show on a major network to contain plot lines that are pleasing to members of the Tea Party movement. V, the name of the show, features reptilian lizard aliens who want to kill us all. But in order to gain our trust, they disguise themselves using cloned human flesh as beautiful people. The aliens are masters of the media image, but their rhetoric is not matched by their actions. The main character is Anna, a stunning female leader of the aliens. I mean, she could be Nancy Pelosi's younger, better-looking cousin. And she explains that the visitors, hence the title V, are here to help us with our problems. You see, they have all the answers to the crises we face. Their first move to earn our trust and devotion is to offer the world universal health care. I kid you not. That's what was in the show. Now, some would criticize these parallels for being a bit too obvious, but to watch a show and see the arrogant, power-drunk politicians getting theirs is just too much fun. Anna and her fellow aliens assert complete control over the media and will only allow positive coverage of the visitors. A reporter, as a matter of fact, who is offered an exclusive interview in the show with the alien leader, Anna, is told not to say anything negative, or media access will be terminated. It all sounds so familiar.
True.
Now, a group of humans have discovered the truth about the aliens' plan to murder mankind, and they seek to expose the seemingly attractive visitors as the reptile-skinned monsters they really are. I guess this group of humans bear an eerie resemblance to savage listeners. The original 1983 miniseries of the same name had an anti-communist theme that tapped into Cold War anxieties. But look, most of these sci-fi series these days have towed the line and kept their plot lines in accordance to the Hollywood liberal thought police. And the critics are predictable. The New York Times slammed the show as unrealistic, and left-wing bloggers have become apoplectic over the series. But the public loves the show. The aliens of V may not have finished taking over the world Tuesday night, but they sure were able to pull in a lot of watchers. More than 14 million viewers. That's a larger audience than all but one new show this season.
Wow.
And V was tops with the coveted age 18 to 49 demographic. It's ABC's best showing there in 3 years. The audience grew in the second half hour, by the way, which is generally an encouraging sign for a show. But strangely, before the thing ever aired, ABC removed the original showrunner, you know, the producer-writer. His name was Scott Peters. Peters was made the executive producer, which normally means he doesn't have the power anymore, and he was replaced with Scott Rosenbaum of The Shield and Chuck fame. Now, one wonders if with these big ratings, the network will bring Peters back, or will he be shunned because of the pilot's underlying message, which is inconsistent with ABC's apparent political bias. Maybe in a future episode, the evil lizard people aliens will ban a talk show host from visiting the mothership because the talk show host was speaking the truth too much. Hey, by the way, thanks for doing that, Michael. Back to you, my friend.
Hey, thanks for the report, James. Now we'll take your calls on the Savage Nation. Miami, Florida, Gloria, go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I'm so glad I can talk to you. I came from Cuba back in 1962 when I was 19, and I can tell you that's the most devastating regime to be under. And if you want to ruin the health care, go ahead. We will lose our freedom. We will lose our ability to make sure. I am very emotional about this situation. I'm very hurt.
The people don't even have clean sheets in the Cuban hospitals unless their relatives send them from Miami. Is that correct?
That is correct. And the worst thing is that you lose your ability to have freedom of thought, freedom of opinion, freedom of everything. It's horrible.
Well, that's what Obama and his friends want, is no freedom of speech and no freedom of thought. You know I'm right now banned from speaking in England. You know that, don't you?
No, I listen to you every
Can you believe that I, an American broadcaster, am not free to go to England and speak? Did I have to go there by video conference? They won't let me in that country, and they let murderers and terrorists into their country? That's what the West is becoming under these left-wingers. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We've talked about how we're losing our identity as a nation. Lately, instead of our country coming closer together, it seems this administration is driving us further apart. Joining us now is Selwyn Duke on a story on how a school may be administrating grades and punishment based on race.
Hi, Michael. It's great to be on the Savage Nation again. Michael, I have a question for the audience. Would you hire teachers and mete out punishment to students based on race? Well, some obviously would, because that's exactly what's happening in the Tucson Unified School District in Arizona. Here's the story. The district has decided that instead of choosing teachers based on merit, you know, that outdated concept, it'll hire teaching staff who reflect the racial composition of its largely minority student population. So here's what's happening now. While many teachers have lost their jobs this year, the Tucson Unified School District is wasting oodles of tax money to hire teachers from out of state who have just the right complexion. Oh, and you love this. The school district also hired someone who, well, I guess you could call their diversity czar, a white guy named Richard Foster, to find these teachers. And he's getting paid $80,000 a year courtesy of the Tucson taxpayer.
A white guy? Well, I'm sure his final act will be to replace himself with a minority.
Yeah, I'm sure, Michael, because we all know that principle trumps money with leftists. Now, as for leftist principles, the Tucson Unified School District is applying another one. It's expanding a controversial Mexican-American Studies program, which is in the same vein as the teacher hiring plan because it also applies racial and ethnic quotas, just here to history and learning in general. Now, there's a lot we can say about this kind of insanity. Most obviously, we're not one people if we don't speak the same language and embrace the same culture. We're not one people if we don't study the same history, are we? I mean, should we base schooling on students' racial and ethnic background? Is that a good idea? Should we have, depending on the kids, German-American, Italian-American, Greek-American curricula, or some other variety? This is a recipe not for a melting pot, but for going to pot. That's what it is. It's a standard that guarantees that instead of e pluribus unum, our nation's just going to devolve into a divided land of competing subcultures. So, you know what? Maybe we should just start the partitioning now if this is the way we want to go. But you know what? It gets even worse. Because the Tucson School Board has started the partitioning. It has. In the area of punishment. Listen to this. The school board also wants minority students' suspensions and expulsions to be reduced until statistically there are, quote, no ethnic racial disparities, unquote. Because, you see, the compassionate leftists want a, quote, restorative school culture and climate, unquote, so all students will have, quote, a sense of belonging, unquote. As the Arizona Republic's Doug McEachern put it, some behavior will be met with strict penalties, some will not. It all depends on the color of the student's skin.
Unbelievable. Well, you see, this is the only way the good white liberals in Tucson can show everyone how compassionate they are, by committing Harry Caray.
Well, yes, Michael, and with compassion like that, who needs hatred? But anyway, here's what's going on here. In just the way that social engineers have overlooked the fact that testing and hiring are meant to reward achievement, they forget that discipline exists to punish transgression. Instead, because we're infected with what I call equality on the brain, we're going to punish students based on quota. Oh, and here's the kicker. In grand 1984 style, the Tucson School Board has created a, quote, equity team, unquote, whose name belies its actual purpose. Because while it's supposed to ensure, quote, social justice for all students, and by the way, when you hear left speak like social justice, see a red flag. But while the team wants social justice, achieving equal outcome requires what? Unequal treatment. So the team's business will be injustice. But to be even more blunt, what's really being said here? Well, what's really being said is that white students will now, on average, be punished more harshly for misbehavior. Now, what many don't realize is that this hurts minorities just as it does whites. Why? Well, because minority students are being held to a lower standard here, and that hurts them. Because after all, holding kids responsible is a key to elevating them. And, of course, it goes without saying that a thing like this is only going to engender bitterness in the white students. So, really, the Tucson School Board should call their new program Creating Racial Hatred 101. Now, looking at an even bigger picture, it's yet another example of legitimizing prejudice and discrimination against whites. Because remember what's going on today. Students are already accosted with revisionist history and curricula, the media, and popular culture. And through it, whites are demonized. And add to this policies that institutionalize discrimination against whites, such as this two-tiered punishment regime, and you already have what? You have a form of mild persecution. Now, do you recall those math problems in school where you had to finish a progression? If this process continues, where do you think it'll lead? 2, 4, 6, 8, you know? This one is not that much more difficult to complete. Now, getting back to teaching history based on quota, the Savage Nation knows that I always try to diagnose the underlying causes of today's insanity. I'm not satisfied to just look on the surface. And I often talk about moral relativism because it is the characteristic spiritual disease of our time. And sure enough, it's a factor in our history based on quota mentality as well. And this is because it blinds people to the one great commonality they can share, and that is truth. Let's examine this. Now, a prerequisite for good education is identifying what's important so it can be imparted to children, right? And recognition of truth is central to this because it's the yardstick with which we can determine what is better and worse, good and evil, important and unimportant. Given this, it's easy to understand the kind of problem that relativism, the belief that there's no truth, would pose. Because you see, since relativism robs us of the yardstick of truth, it reduces everything to mere opinion. And then you can't really say that anything is more important than anything else, can you? And then, how can you decide what to teach? You see, it's the kind of confusion that gives us history textbooks with more information about Marilyn Monroe than George Washington. And yes, that's an actual example. So, how do the relativistic leftists decide what to teach? Well, the answer is, listen closely, they use as a yardstick the things that matter most in a world without truth. Feelings. And what do you do then? Well, you teach girls, blacks, Hispanics, etc., what you think will make them feel better, and what makes you feel better, as opposed to what will make them know better. So, motivated by this, and relativism's corollary, that all cultures and ideas are equal, I'm sure you've heard that one, you start presenting history based on quota, and then it's feminist curricula for the girls, Afrocentrism for blacks, and Mexican-American studies in Tucson.
Well, the kids may not be able to find Iraq on a map or know who Winston Churchill was, but as long as they know that Heather has two mommies and who Daddy's roommate is, they'll be okay.
Well, yeah, Michael, it's absolutely the worst kind of academic malpractice because it denies children what they really need. And here's an example of what I'm talking about. Some educators will dispense with classical literature because it was written by dead white males. We've all heard that, right? But think about this. Did we study the classics years ago because they were written by white people mainly? No. No more than educated ancient Romans learned Greek and studied Greek classics because they were created by Greek people. We did it because such works often express great truths and thus have stood the test of time. Anyway, at the end of the day, despite all the left's posturing about equality, its members are in fact the most prejudiced people you'll find. And this also is a function of their relativism. Now, why do I say this? Because denial of truth does in fact lead to that governance by emotion and prejudice. That negative opinion with no basis in reality is usually a phenomenon of the emotional realm. And this is why leftists care more about the color of a teacher's skin than what's coming out of his mouth. And it's why, more and more, what's coming out of teachers' mouths is not what should be put into children's heads. Michael, I thank you so much for having me on the show again, and God bless you and your audience.
Selwyn Duke, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Anita Dunn, the White House communications czarina, stepped down, meaning she was thrown overboard. Now, I want you to remember who she was. She was an out-and-out Maoist. Did you hear what I just said? Mao Zedong killed over 50 million Chinese. Listen again to this glorification of Mao Zedong she made last June at a high school graduation.
And then the third lesson and tip actually come from two of my favorite political philosophers. Mao Zedong and Mother Teresa, not often coupled with each other, but the two people that I turn to most to basically deliver a simple point, which is you're going to make choices, you're going to challenge, you're going to say why not, you're going to figure out how to do things that have never been done before, but here's the deal. These are your choices. They are no one else's.
Wow.
In 1947, when Mao Zedong was being challenged within his own party on his plan to basically take China over, Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalist Chinese held the cities. They had the army. They had the air force. They had everything on their side. And people said, how can you win? How can you do this? How can you do this? Against all of the odds against you. And Mao Zedong said, you know, you fight your war and I'll fight mine.
And here she is attacking Fox News, calling it an arm of the Republican Party.
If you were a Fox News viewer in the fall election, what you would have seen would have been that the biggest stories and biggest threats facing America were a guy named Bill Ayers and something called Acorn. I mean, the reality of it is that Fox News often operates almost as either the research arm or the communications arm of the Republican Party.
No.
Obviously, he'll go on Fox because he engages with ideological opponents, and he has done that before. He will do it again. I can't give you a date because, frankly, I can't give you dates for anybody else right now. But what I will say is that when he goes on Fox, he understands he's not going on it really as a news network at this point. He's going on to debate the opposition, and that's fine. He never minds doing that.
But today, because of pressure from you and the few real conservatives left in the media, she is gone. It's a huge victory. What's not a victory is the fact that it's being reported that the Fort Hood shooter, Hassan, was not kicked out of the military because he is a Muslim. Listen to this report from the far-left NPR, no less. You're not going to believe this.
If you want to get rid of a resident at Walter Reed, like Nidal Hassan, I mean, it's almost like going to court, not quite that much, but you have to have a long paper trail, details documenting what he's done wrong. You have to show that you've tried to remediate his behavior. Two committees have to vote on it. Then the resident can hire a lawyer and appeal. There are hearings. So psychiatrists at Walter Reed tell me that residents are hardly ever kicked out of the program, even when they've done something really egregious.
This is unbelievable to me.
One of the key officials at Walter Reed, who's close to the policy committee, told me that some of the members sat around saying, and how will it look if we kick out one of the few Muslim residents in our program? Word is that earlier this year, they basically read Hassan the Riot Act, and they said, this is it. You know, it's now or never. And they say, according to his supervisors, he did improve. He started showing up on time. He was more focused. So they said, you know, let's let him go to Fort Hood, and let's hope he does even better there.
Amazing. multiculturalism is killing us. But according to the stupid moron, Geraldo Rivera, who's known for having given away troop positions to the enemy during the Iraq War, live on TV, moronic Jerry Rivers, says Hassan killed all those soldiers because he had a toothache, not because he was Muslim. This is on Fox News.
Well, I don't know what motivates him, John Stossel, but to suggest that he's a terrorist, doesn't that of necessity require that he conspires with someone, that he has some communication? As far as I know, his computer shows no links with anybody. This is a guy, he's a sociopath, he's a criminal. He could have had a toothache and gone off because of that.
This is totally insane. But what's more insane is that Obama's saying there will be jail time for those who don't buy government health insurance.
Do you think it's appropriate to have a threat of jail time for those who refuse to buy insurance?
You know, what I think is appropriate is that in the same way that everybody has to get auto insurance, and if you don't, you're subject to some penalty, that in this situation, if you have the ability to buy insurance, it's affordable, and you choose not to do so, forcing you and me and everybody else to subsidize you. You know, there's a $1,000 hidden tax that families all across America are burdened by because of the fact that people don't have health insurance. You know, there's nothing wrong with a penalty.
What?
Penalties are appropriate for people who try to free ride the system and force others to pay for their health insurance.
And of course, at the memorial today for those who were killed at Fort Hood, he said that Hassan will get due process.
We are a nation that endures because of the courage of those who defend it. We saw that valor in those who braved bullets here at Fort Hood just as surely as we see it in those who signed up knowing they would serve in harm's way. We are a nation of laws whose commitment to justice is so enduring that we would treat a gunman and give him due process just as surely as we will see that he pays for his crimes.
That's his main concern now? That's his main concern now? Why would he ever bring that up? I guess it's to make sure that the Arab street still loves him. I just received this email. If people wonder if Obama is a liar, read Proverbs 10:18. Quote, he who conceals hatred has lying lips. I think Obama is clearly trying to make light of the hatred in the terrorist that shot up Fort Hood. Reverend Wright was full of hatred. Obama made excuses for him. Bill Ayers hated enough to blow stuff up, and Obama defended him. If Solomon, the wisest man to have ever lived, who received his wisdom direct from God, was right, Obama is a biblically certified liar. Michael, I know you love as I the Old Testament, for in it is wisdom, so I thought you might enjoy what Proverbs say. Let's move on. Fort Lauderdale, Michael, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, how does anybody ever thank someone who's basically saved his son? I mean, sir, without you out there, I don't know where my son would turn to. He's freshman in college. And
what happened?
Well, the other day, I was doing the
the chance to Chairman Obama by the young brainwashed school children. And what happened?
He knew exactly what I was doing, and I couldn't believe, because I don't see him quite often anymore, maybe a weekend or so out of the month, because he's a freshman in college now, and he knew exactly where it came from, and I was so proud of him that he's been listening to you on his own, because, you know, you're like...
Michael, is he down in Florida near you, or he went out of town? Is he out of town or near you?
He's not far from me, but I am divorced from his mother, so he comes down. You know, he's getting older now, so sometimes he's busy on the weekend, but we still get together.
What are you saying? But he's in the area of Florida, or he's in New York and listens on another station?
He's about 40 miles north of me, 50 miles north of me, but I'm so proud to see that.
Well, look, college is a very dangerous time for kids. You know, you spend your whole life trying to prepare them for the evils of the world, and you shelter them, and then they get exposed to the communists, the Marxists, and the perverts in the colleges, and they come back completely brainwashed. If you're lucky, they come back without being a drug addict or a complete deviant. That's if you're lucky, if they're not a drug addict or a deviant. You ought to count your lucky stars if they can just work in Starbucks when they get through with them. But, you know, I'm like the uncle in the family to a lot of people. I mean, I never thought that that day would come. It doesn't happen anymore. Everyone had an uncle like me at one point. The uncle, they couldn't wait until he left, and then they couldn't wait till he came the next Sunday to dinner so they could argue with him. He was always right. No matter whatever they thought about him, they knew he was right. They couldn't get the best of him.
But, sir, you know, I worry for your safety sometimes because these rats might try to do something to you to silence you one day because you're the only person out there can tell.
Well, it's a little too late to worry about that. They've already silenced me in an entire Western nation.
Know that, but I mean, you know,
I understand what they're where they're coming from. I only hope that the FBI is on to the fact that anyone in the conservative media is targeted and that they'll forewarn us if they get any inkling that there's any kind of activity. I mean, I got to be very honest with
you. I do, too.
They have tremendous reach. They have tremendous reach. My lawyers wrote to the head of the FBI and asked if there were any inclination, any inklings of such, things going on, and they said no, in writing, at the time. That's no guarantee. I understand that. When you have vermin in the media like Chris Matthews, the lowest of the low, suggesting that Rush Limbaugh be killed with a CO2 cartridge in his mouth, I mean, you know that that could provoke the lunatics to go crazy.
You know that song, it was burned in my head, and I couldn't get it out of my head for quite some time, whereas I was even doing it, walking around the house in a mocking way.
What, the ? You don't mean that sound, do you?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Savage.